This is Dale Cantrell, pastor of the Meridianville Holiness Church. Thanks for joining us for a look into God's Word as we try to gain a better understanding of God's will for us. Open your Bibles to Luke 14, 16 through 24, King James Version. Verse 16, then he said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. It said, a certain man. It didn't identify him, but instead called him a certain man. It was an unnamed man. It could have been anyone. A man like the men listening to this right now. Are you the man? Always ready with an excuse? Armed and dangerous at all times? If you don't have an excuse, Satan, the enemy, as I always refer to him as Old Scratch, will help you make one up. It's like the old song by the Kingsman Gospel Group, which said, excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. And the devil, he'll supply them if to church you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Hell is going to be full of people with good intentions and excuses. Like King Agrippa in Acts 26:28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. This would be one of the saddest things to walk up to the judgment and tell God, I almost changed. It seemed like some people get marooned on an imaginary island called Someday I'll, I-S-L-E, Someday I'll. Someday I'll change, someday I'll do better, etc. Here in the South, we use the word fixing. We're doing very little, but we're fixing to do a lot. Verse 17 says, and then send he his servant at supper time to say to them that which were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Job 34:3, for the ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat. I saw a sign, and Amos 8:11 said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. I saw a sign when I was a young man that said, I'd rather build a bridge than a wall. Have you ever met these wall builders? I didn't understand that saying for a long time. I walked around sort of scratching my head, wondering what in the world that means, but finally, I saw into it. Whenever someone wants to try something or say something positive, and they bring up their favorite word, but, the wall builder uses that word over and over, but. But the positive person replies a positive to a negative person. Instead of using but, he uses the word and. But is the wall and is the bridge. We could start with this step, the positive person will say. And then we could try this. Famous walls people build start with their favorite word, but. But I can't. But I'm too old. But I'm not a good speaker. But I'm too young. They all start with the word, but. And oftentimes, but I. The Bible uses the word but 66 times. The Bibles all started with, but God. Where we use but as excuses, God uses but I, but God, as a challenge to the enemy. Some people use another word very often, Ida. You may call them Idas. If I'd have done this, I'd be a millionaire. You miss 100% of the shots you never take. If I went home after work and I didn't know that my wife was going to fix a big meal, my favorite, pinto beans, fried potatoes, and cornbread, and I stopped off at a convenience store and I bought soft drinks and some chips and some candy, I wouldn't be hungry because I'd just fill up on junk. That's why we're not hungry for the Word of God when we come to churches, because we've already filled up on junk before we even get to church. My ability today to preach effectively or at any other time is equal to your capacity to hear. Brothers and sisters, you can't put 5 gallons of gas into a 1 gallon can. And it would also be wasteful to put 1 gallon in a 5 gallon can because you're not using it to its full capacity and potential. If I were to invite you over to my house and went through a lot of trouble, but you're not hungry, then we may not attempt to do that again, at least for a while. If you're a vegetarian or you're on a diet, then please tell me in advance, and I won't get my wife to put on so many chickens. There's nothing much sadder than someone who's lost their appetite and desire to eat. My mother had colon cancer in November 2015, and she was not hungry for days. We have a brother and a sister in our church. We have cancer, and the chemo treatments killed their desire to eat. Again, how sad that is. I can't think of much any sadder or any worse. If you will go visit people, older people, sick people, shut in, down and out, or whatever, you'll be ready when church time rolls around. You'll be ready to eat of the good word of God. Let's say if I did come home and my wife had surprised me with my favorite meal and I had not filled up on junk. I probably could smell it first. That's my first clue. Am I full? No, I'm anxious to eat, but I'm not full. What about when I sit on the stove? I'm feeling better, but I'm not full. I can get so close that I hear the fried potatoes popping in the pan. Am I full yet? What about if I open the skillet and get one of the potatoes with my fingers and touch it? Am I full yet? No, it lets me know that it's real, that I'm not imagining it, but I'm not full. My daughter, when she was a little girl, loved fried potatoes, and she loved to eat them with her fingers. She would ask her mother, "Can I eat them with my fingers?" Her mother would say, "If it's just me and you and your daddy and your brother, you can. But if we have company, you have to use a fork." It's not until I'm not full yet, and it's not until I use that last sense, the sense of taste, not until I pull up to the table and start raking that delicious food in, is it going to do me any good. 1 Peter 2:1-3 said, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." I heard a story of a man. He found a little puppy, and he and his wife tried to feed it with a dropper. So he put some milk and tried to feed it with droppers, but it wasn't doing good. So he took it to a vet, and the vet said, "Has it ever known its mother's milk?" And he said, "I doubt it. I don't think it ever did. It was only a few hours old when they found it." And he said, "If it's never known mother's milk, then it's not going to make it. Because mother's milk is what helps it fight those infections and diseases that's in the world. It's the same spiritually. The Bible is mother's milk. You need that to fight the doctrines of the world and the diseases, the spiritual diseases." Some people are only observers in life and in the church. They just watch it from afar, but there are some that participate and embrace it as their own. The enemy doesn't care if you watch from afar, but he roars loudly if you start coming closer and closer to the goal. Acts 28:27 said, "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are full of dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." Job 23:12 said, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Verse 18 said, "And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused.'" It said excuse, not excuses. I too, like so many people, thought it said excuses. But check it out for yourself. It says excuse. All excuses are the same. They are just garbage. One may say they didn't go to church because of work. Another may say they didn't go because they had to cut the lawn. And others may make another excuse of some other kind. But the bottom line is they all are just excuse. I have a garbage can in my office at home. If you ask me what's in it, I don't tell you each individual item. I just say garbage. I won't itemize it and say, well, an apple core or banana peeling, etc. It's just all garbage. And so are excuses. They are just excuses. They are just garbage. I've heard almost every excuse you could think of in my 23 years in the ministry. I haven't ever heard yet, I didn't come to church because the dogs ran off with the car or the cat has the measles. But I've heard just about every other thing that's so ridiculous. We have no control over our once upon a time, but we have control over our lived happily ever after. I visited one of the Holiness churches in the New Hope area a few years ago and preached about excuses and said excuses are just garbage. Well, 2 to 3 months later, I went back to that same church for a visit. A young brother came up to me as I was shaking hands with folks, stuck his hand out, and he goes to that church, and he told me, "Brother, it's just garbage." I had forgotten that excuses was a sermon I had preached on my last visit to that church. It kind of startled me, and I replied, "What's garbage?" And he proceeded to remind me of my previous sermon there. I was so glad that he paid attention and remembered, but the truth is excuses are garbage. Winners have commitment, but losers have excuses. Winners concentrate on where they're going to, while losers think about what they're going through. Success requires no explanations, while failure permits no excuses or alibis. You elevate your life by taking responsibility for who you are and what you're choosing to become. People who have excuse blame everyone and everything else on their misfortunes. It's always something else or someone else. It is never their fault. People are always saying, under the circumstances, they couldn't do this or they couldn't do that. And you can fill in the blank. If you're under the circumstances, friend, why don't you move and get out from under those circumstances? Seem like they're hindering you a pretty good bit. Supper time, it's typically dark. It's a very poor time to see a piece of ground. This would be a crooked real estate agent's delight. Once the doors to the gospel banquet is closed, sinners will be at the door trying to get in, but gatecrashers cannot enter God's banquet hall. So an invitation is crucial. It is necessary. Cannot be done without. Many times people's excuses start with the word if. If I just had time, or if I just had the talent some other people have, or if I were just a better speaker, or if I could just get the breaks that other people get, and the list goes on and on. Excuses have never served me well. I heard a statement years ago that said 80% of the people could care less that you or I have a problem, and the other 20% are actually really tickled about it. That doesn't leave anybody to tell it to. So why waste the breath that it takes to utter it? Verse 19 says, "And I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." Again, it is dark. It's supper time, a very bad time to be looking at or proving oxen. It would be like a crooked car salesman in the dark with no light. It would be a crooked car salesman's delight to sell you a car in the dark. Verse 20, "And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." If I were the judge, I would definitely let this man be excused. Honey, if you're listening to this, I'm just joking. Seriously, he was the only one with a legitimate excuse. Because in Deuteronomy 24:5, it says, "When a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be a free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken." Satan will tell you to wait till you get to such and such place in your life, and then you can accept the invitation. When I get to be 13, to be a teenager, that would be a good time. Then you turn 13, you say, "I need to get to 16. When I get to 16 and I get my driver's license, then I'll come." Then you'll say, "When I get to be 21, that would be a great time. That would be a good age. So when I get to 21, I'll come. But you don't come. Then you say, let me get married first. So you get married. And then the thought comes, now let's wait till we have children. You have children, and then the voice says, wait till you get your house paid for. Can't you see how that is? It goes on and on. It never ends. You never get to that exact spot, that perfect time, that perfect place that Satan tells you that you need to get to. When you do get to that landmark and that place, he moves the destination on you. I heard a story of a man standing on top of a hill who said within himself, I would like to go there, but bless my heart, I am here. He saw a man down the hill who looked like he was there. So the man ran down the hill to the man in the valley and said, I'm glad I finally made it there. The man in the valley looked at him and said, no, son, you're not there. You're here. The frustrated man said, well, how do I get there if I'm here? The man in the valley said, do you see that hilltop up there? The place where you just come from? That's there. But you're here. Where you come from? That's there. So you see the trick of the devil? You'll never be there. He will never let you admit that you're there. Verse 21 says, so that servant came and showed him, Lord, these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. God is going to have people there. He's going to have his house full. If you don't come, the Lord will not grieve long. He will just ask someone else in your place. Verse 22 said, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. There's plenty of room if you come now. Verse 23 said, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Verse 24 said, for I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Some people went to bed last night praying that they would make it until today, but they didn't make it. But you made it. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your change, your opportunity? Are you going to just flitter it away with excuses? There are people overseas that would paddle a boat, a canoe, to get over here and to be sitting where you're sitting, eating what you're eating, doing what you're doing, working where you're working, and there you are with it. I doubt if anybody listening to this broadcast slept in a car last night. They may be somebody, but most of you didn't. You had food in the refrigerator. You had money in the bank, or at least money in a little jar somewhere. Oh, don't you know how good we've got it? And then we complain. We ought to be ashamed. The victor without excuses allows God to take his lemons and turn them into sweet taste of victory. He allows God to take the bitter things of life and turn them into beautiful things of life. Friends, we're automatically entered into the game of life. You are there whether you want to be or not. The only way to win is through God's help. With him, we win, and without him, we lose. It's just that simple. Losers see why you can get it. Why you can have it, but not them. Poor little me. There just ain't no way. Beware when you hear someone start their sentences with it's not fair. Watch out, the excuse is about to come rolling out. Winners make a habit of doing things losers don't want to do. I remember when I heard my mother-in-law say one time that she had never got God to do anything for her, trying to get him to feel sorry for her. And I have found this to be my experience. It's the same as hers. And I believe it'll be the same as yours. You can throw a party, a pity party. You can invite people to come. You can buy the cake, light the candles, blow the whistles, have the balloons. But if you've ever done any good with that, you just go for it. I have never had any success with doing that. I saw a sign at an office at an assisted living, and I guess the manager had been bombarded with people that was whining, and she said, "No whining. Whines are $5 a whine." And sometimes I feel like that. I heard a man say one time that there were 10 commandments, but if there was 11, he thought that God should make it, "Thou shalt not bellyache." How can we complain? How can we make excuses? We live in the greatest country, even with all of its troubles and all of its faults, decline of morals or whatever, we still live in the greatest country, to my knowledge. I hope this has helped you today. I really hope this is going to help you tomorrow. When you get up in the morning, instead of asking God, "Bless what I'm doing," how about asking God to let you do what He's blessing? In the morning, God is going to do some, tomorrow, He's going to do some incredible things for some people. He's going to do some awesome things for people this year. For churches, He's going to bless this year with awful, awesome things. Why not you? Why not your church? Why don't you come facing tomorrow looking for a miracle? Go to church looking for a miracle. My prayer is that we can all can make it. May God wonderfully bless you until we meet here next time at this same time. My prayer to God is that as many as can will make it. Please phone, text, or email any comments to Dale Cantrell at 256-508-4410 or email DaleCantrell2@gmail.com. That's DaleCantrell, all in lowercase, the number 2, DaleCantrell2@gmail.com. Meridianville Holiness Church is located at 1285 Stigger Road in Meridianville, Alabama, 35759. But any notes or letters should be sent to 278 Priest Lane, Hazel Green, Alabama, 35750. And I would like to encourage you to send feedback, comments, or whatever. If you'd like to attend a service at Meridianville Holiness Church and you just want to stay through the singing, friends, we won't be hurt at you if you ease on out the door. We'll just be happy that you come. If you do not live near the Meridianville, Alabama area, but would still be interested in attending a service near you, then contact me, Dale Cantrell, and I'll get you to the nearest church location to where you are at. May God bless you.